Hello, Killer Frog fans. This is Sean, and I'm jumping in here at the beginning of this week's episode to explain what happened to last week's podcast, number 192. As many of you know, we're back to recording the show this season in front of a live audience every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. at the Poop Deck on Bluebonnet Circle. It's just a few blocks from campus. Of course, recording live can have its own set of challenges, and last week, we had a technical issue which rendered much of the audio from the show unusable. I can tell you that the episode included some brilliant analysis to the loss to Colorado by Shannon, Nathan, and myself, but unfortunately, that show will only live on in the memories of the Frog fans that joined us for the live show. But we're back this week for episode 193, which features former Frog quarterback Casey Paha. So without further ado, I'll hand it over to Ryan to start the show.
Hello to everybody. We've got Nathan Hernandez here.
Hi, how you doing, Ryan?
Good. And then we have Barry Lewis, who is our publisher and writer from Killer Frogs Fan Nation.
Howdy.
Hello. And then for our special guest, we have Casey Paha. We will jump right in and start asking Casey about what's been going on in your life for the last, 10 years or so. It's good to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on. A lot's been going on. After college, whenever I graduated, I ended up going to the CFL, playing up in Canada for a year. I was with the Toronto Argonauts, and then I also went to the Calgary Stampeders. So I was there, playing up there, and then after that I had multiple workouts with different teams and went to some mini camps with NFL teams. Really gave it my all. Just didn't work out for me. However, and then now I have transitioned into the real world. So
you're a real human being. Welcome to adulting, right?
right.
It's so much fun. So what was Canada like? What's football like up there?
It's different. I mean, it's still the same game. Mm-hmm. It is different. You got 12 guys. So a lot of people think you got that extra guy. So it may not be too difficult to adjust, but you also have to account for one more defender as well. So field's bigger and then less teams. So only a couple teams make it into the playoff every year. And then just a little bit of it is a little different, but at the end of the day, it's still football. So it was enjoyable. So
good. So you're glad you did it. You learned some things, and now you're back in Texas.
Yes.
So all right. So since you've been back in Texas, you've since gotten married and you have children. Tell us a little bit more about that.
We do live here in Fort Worth, and I do have we've been married for 7 years now, and have two children, a 5-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy.
Oh, what are their names?
My oldest, she is Adeline, and then my youngest boy, he's 3, Asher.
Oh.
I have those two, and then we have a third on the way. So
congratulations.
So we are excited. Fun times. So it's been a lot of fun living here in Fort Worth. Whenever it came down to it, and we were we did live in Dallas for a little bit prior to about 2017. We purchased our first house here in Fort Worth, technically Haltom City, in 2017, and then we love it here. My wife went to TCU as well. So
she did.
Oh. So yeah,
where y'all met?
So we both love it here in Fort Worth. We're doing well. I'm working construction. I'm doing commercial general contracting work. So it's things are going really well.
Give your company a little shout out.
It's RJ Miller Contractors.
All right, everybody out there, listen to that. Well, good. Well, I know personally all of us here today. Hi, Gail and Rick. So good to see y'all. Y'all didn't know I was, first of all, I didn't even introduce myself. So my name is Ryan. I graduated in 98, and I'm the co-owner of Killer Frogs. Now I'm not as nervous. I was really nervous to like speak the first word into the microphone, but now you're not going to be able to get me to shut up. But so now we have Gail and Rick. And are y'all going on to the volleyball game after this or during this or... They are. That's great. I'm so glad you're supporting the volleyball team. That's good. Yeah, good. Volleyball does kick off tonight with their home opener, so I feel really badly that we're kind of coinciding that, but we will make this efficient, and then everybody can go on to support the Horned Frogs. So one thing I wanted to read to you, which will bring a smile to your face, is when I started advertising on social media that you were going to be our guest, Jack Hesselbrock. You remember Jack? Jack was like our second dad, right?
Oh, yeah. love Jack. He's awesome.
Yes. So, and that's where he is right now. He was going to come, but he'd already made prior commitment to be over there in the Schollmeyer with the volleyball team. But he sent me this text, and I got to scroll back up a little bit. He said, "So happy Casey was invited. He has really done well for himself." So, and I got a couple texts like that, and I thought you would really enjoy the one from Jack, since you know exactly who he is. So,
absolutely.
And I have to say the same thing. Through the years, we've seen you down on the 50-yard line coming down, and back before they redid the stadium, we sat down there too, and I've seen you walking down, and you're very recognizable, and everybody's just like, "Oh, there's Casey. It's so good to see him." So I hope you know that everybody, you hold a special place in all of our hearts. So we're so glad to have you here with us today.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. So back to when you were here at TCU, and then I might hand the mic off and let y'all ask some questions too. But I mean, a lot of things have changed. There's NIL, there's a transfer portal, a bunch of coaches changed. What would you say to players today that you wish you would have known back then when you're a kid, essentially? You've matured a lot since then. What would be your advice to these players, even though things are a little bit different, to for them just to obviously enjoy the moment, not want to grow up so quickly, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to transferring, sticking around, NIL money, any advice about that?
Yeah, so when it comes to the NIL and the transfer portal of how it works nowadays, it is kind of out there for me to think about, because back whenever I was being recruited, coming to college, one of the things for not just myself, anybody else that was going into college, one of the factors you had to consider was who's already there. They've established themselves at that university. So let me try to figure out a place also where I can come in and compete against other guys that are maybe my age, maybe a year or two, something like that, to give myself an opportunity for the most playing time possible. Because that's just how it works. At the end of the day, that's how it works. No matter the mindset, you always have a positive mindset of, I'm going to come in, I'm going to compete, I'm going to do everything I can to win that job. However, when you have a place, for example, a place like Florida, they recruited me. Tim Tebow was their quarterback. I knew in my mind I wasn't going to go to Florida and beat out Tim Tebow. So I had to think about, where can I go get the most exposure and also get the most playing time? So it is a different concept nowadays of just having that grit and understanding, and that continue to compete. You may get down, you may have bad times, rough practices, rough games, but if you can just stick through it and let that transfer be the last resort for you, instead of, "I had a rough game, I'm just out of here," or "I got benched, let me get out of here," type of thing. But also, I'm not in today's world in college, so I really don't know how my mindset would be, because at the end of the day, we all just want playing time. So we want to get on the field, and so that's my opinion on it a little bit, but also I'm not walking in those guys' shoes nowadays. So and then the NIL, that's a whole foreign concept to me. That would have been pretty cool, for a lot of us, and it's probably a good thing we didn't have it. But just being smart, being surrounded by the right people, and I have, being around the university over the past year or two, seeing it, talking with the higher up people, Matt Lewis, director of operations, people like that, of him explaining of how it functions, the NIL stuff here at TCU, is that they have set great programs in place to be able to help these guys succeed, to where they're not being dumb and off the field, to help them take that extra step, succeed, and set them up for life. So,
yeah, I have heard a lot of good things about the programs Definitely. That they've put in place for the athletes, which I think is really good. There is something to said for being 18 and 19 and having a lot of money, or even a little bit of money. I mean, you just you. it's really just not in your DNA to make good decisions at that age. So it's a little bit of a gamble, I think. But I do know that TCU and a majority of the schools out there are doing the very best they can to help these kids as much as possible. So who all do you keep in touch with from your team and from coaching wise?
A little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
I'll chat with people just all throughout the year. I do have a close group of friends.
Yeah.
Well, one guy's name is Robert Deck. He was my right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my best friends. Tanner Brock. I don't even remember him.
Yeah.
Also as well, Marcus Cannon.
Yes.
Numerous people like that. And then anytime I see any of the other guys at the stadium, at the practice fields, anywhere like that, it's like we never skipped a beat.
Oh. Good.
And just right there giving hugs, all that stuff. So, and then I will just throughout the year try to every now and then shoot a text to somebody or message them on social media, things like that. So, see how you're doing. So,
good. That is so important because it goes by so fast. So, real quick, I just wanted to give everybody an idea of how successful you were when you were here at TCU. So, what's really cool about your story is that you were backup to Andy Dalton,
yes.
Which is, I mean, that's pretty amazing. You followed some big shoes and you filled them. So that's what all did you learn? Because he had a rough start to the quarterback position, as a lot of quarterbacks do. It's tough to get gelled in with the team. So what did you learn those first couple years of Fiesta Bowl and then obviously the Rose Bowl? Which
having Andy sitting behind him was extremely helpful for me, and I'm grateful for it. The guy's extremely smart. Took care of his business and really taught me the ins and outs of how to read defenses, how to conduct myself in the huddle, how to, and at the end of the day, how to just make the right decisions on the field. So there was actually a little scary moment, but I was excited and a little nervous. I almost played in that Rose Bowl game too.
Oh, tell me more.
Only because it was the last regular season game whenever Andy hurt his elbow.
Yeah.
And I eventually went in, took over that game. Well, he got hit pretty hard and came off. Well, I get a call from the press box and they say Casey start warming up, and I was like, oh man. I started sweating. I was like, oh, my goodness. But Andy being the type of guy he was, he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to stop. He wasn't going to let that take him out. I'm about to call the play in the huddle on the sideline as we get the ball back. He comes in, pulls me back, and he's like, I'm not leaving this game. So it almost happened, but he prepared. We prepared very well for that game, and he did tremendously. So I know I would have been ready for it, but – anybody, it's nerve-wracking. I was a little scared. I was a little nervous right there.
No doubt.
Yeah. But overall, being behind Andy, it was it made me the quarterback I was on the field. He taught me everything, and I'm very grateful for that. So
that's pretty neat.
So taking that, learning from Andy, being under him for a while, going into your senior year, I remember, I think it was you injured your forearm, right? Yeah. And having Trayvon behind you, and Trayvon was my first quarterback. How did what Andy taught you take it? What did you give to Trayvon, and what did you take from Andy to kind of help Trayvon transition into, you know, starting quarterback and all that stuff?
Basically, kind of the same thing. Whenever I did, because I broke my arm. Broke it in three places. Had to get some metal plates put in there. But when
during practice, during a game or during practice?
Yeah, it was during the second game.
It
was right before halftime of the second game, Southeastern Louisiana State, I believe it was. Yeah. And for that, from that point on, whenever I was recovering and everything, I was right there for Trayvon every step of the way, because I was on the sideline of every game, traveled with the team every single game. So if he had questions, problems, anything like that, I was there for him at practice. I would make sure that I was there. Any questions he had, I was going to walk him through that and help him out the best I could. So it was just kind of just taking over what Andy did with me to make sure that he could be as successful as he could. On the field, so.
Well, yeah. It definitely
paid off for him.
It definitely worked. Yeah. I do want to read off a little bit, a few of your stats. Upon leaving and graduating in 2013, you were the all-time leader in completion percentage and ranked third in completions, passing yards, and TD passes. So, you were setting records all over the place. So that's pretty exciting. All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and keep you around, hopefully, and start talking about the game. I'm going to let Barry first start off with giving us just a overview of what our riders have been up to this past week. They have been working their tails off, and it's been a little bit of a lull coming off of Colorado. But go ahead and tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, we've been having a killer week this week and last week. We had a record-setting 66 pieces of content that we put out there last week. Half of that was video and some really fun videos from football press conferences, volleyball post-game, soccer post-game. So we're out there covering all of that. This week we've got, you know, every one of our writers is writing something in a preview to the Houston game. Our sports ignoramus, his dear opponent letter came out yesterday. We've got one's writing predictions. We've got our Big 12 power rankings came out today. There's a lot more coming out today and tomorrow about Saturday's game. So we've got the Houston game covered quite well. We've been covering volleyball, soccer, both men's golf and women's golf got their season started this week. Men's golf came in second place in the first tournament they played. I mentioned this last week. We have a freshman from Kenya on the women's cross-country team. Last week I mentioned that she won her first race. She won her second race as a freshman, and she was the Big 12 cross-country runner of the week this week. This past weekend, we introduced our 22nd sport at TCU. The women's triathlon team, who has been practicing and training for the last year, had their first meet, and they came away with a big win. So that's kind of exciting to see that. So we're out there making sure that we're covering not just football, basketball, and baseball, but all of the other sports as well.
That's wonderful. And I guess we were saying earlier, volleyball is kicking off their first home match this evening, right now.
Volleyball is kicking off tonight. They were in College Station this past weekend. We had one of our riders there on site and was able to get some post-game interviews all three matches. They came away with, went 2-1 in the tournament in College Station, including a Saturday win over the host, Texas A&M. So that's always a good thing. So both Texas A&M and Utah State, who was the other one they won, were tournament teams last year, so that was good to have that going. The Big 12 volleyball is going to be incredible to watch. There are, I think, 5 or 6 ranked teams in the Big 12, mm-hmm. and TCU's not ranked yet, so that's going to be interesting to see how that does. Our soccer team, they've got a big match going on later tonight. They are playing in their first Big 12 conference game in Provo.
Oh, wow.
And
they're really good.
BYU happens to be the number one team in the nation right now. Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see how the soccer team handles. The soccer team has gone up and down in the short season. I believe they're 3-3-1 right now. So.
Yeah, it's a long season for them, but this is the first time that I can remember recent history that they've struggled a little bit. And not like, well, you say that. I say that, but they're playing really hard teams. Obviously, they're playing the number one team this weekend.
They did struggle. They went 3.5 matches without getting the ball through the net. So that
it's not like them, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they need to get a few more goals out there. So.
Yeah, they'll peak at the right time. I have faith.
Tonight would be a good night for that to happen.
It would be. Hopefully, it's not too cold up there. Right. I didn't check the temperature. We should have done that. Well, anything else you got for us?
No,
just we have another big week in store once you get back from Houston. You'll be traveling down there. Several of us are traveling down to cover it. So wonderful. Thank you.
And we started last week. Actually, we started it after the Colorado game. Enhanced it after the Nicholls State game. We've got a post-game show that will be out on our site pretty quickly after each game. And we've got it working on it for Saturday night, too. So
that's wonderful. And the best way to get to all these stories and things to watch is just to go to killerfrogs.com, and it will automatically reroute you to our Sports Illustrated Fan Nation site.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you, Barry. Safe travels. All right. Well, let's kick this off with reviewing the Big 12 Week 2. It was So exciting. There were so many exciting games. I will say the one exciting game we did have was Alabama and Texas. So with that, I'm going to let you take this microphone. And y'all talk a little bit about, obviously, Texas probably should have beat Alabama last year, but quarterback got hurt. So this year, obviously, he wasn't hurt. And, boy, they came back with a vengeance. So, Casey, I will let y'all.
Well, first off, let's not give Texas that last year almost win because they'll take that forever. But no, I mean, and I kind of ranted on it on Twitter for a little bit, but it was a good win. Great win. Beat Alabama at home. And the biggest thing that I saw was like, it's Texas back. It's Texas back. We got to stop with this Texas back thing. It's week two. Last year, you know, Alabama won that matchup. They didn't even make the playoffs. So it's a long season. A lot of things can happen. Texas still got to get past Kansas. But it was a great win. I'm not taking that away from them. They did a good job. Had some help, but at the same time, it's like, it is what it is. Like, they did really well. They deserve to be, you know, ranked high. But I'm not ready to jump on the whole, like, Texas is back thing. Growing up, Texas won the national championship. So if they hold themselves to that standard, no, Texas isn't back yet. They beat a really good team, but they still got a lot of work to do this season, just like we do, just like everybody else does this year. That's where I'm at with that whole win.
Yeah, I mean, every single year you're going to hear Texas is back. But, I mean, I heard an interview with Sarkisian, and he even said it's not going to define them the rest of the season, which that's a good mentality. And that's the way – and we're going to find out the rest of the season of what really happens is – and especially this week with playing Wyoming, when it comes to that – are they still up here, or did they level their heads and come back down and get ready for week three?
Yeah.
That's going to be the real question, especially when it comes to upsets.
Yeah.
Because I mean that definitely could happen, especially if they're riding that wave and as a unit, if they're not all back ready mentally. To get back in it, because they are a very good team. We can't take that away from them. And they have a ton of playmakers, but can they consistently do it every single week is what we'll find out. So
and we've been in those situations where it's, you know, you come off an emotional game, it's a highly looked at game, big nationally and everything like that, and it's hard to kind of get you, like he said, level yourself back out, get yourself back down to reality. You know, can't get too high, can't get too low. You just got to reset, come back into the week with a fresh mind. Like, all right, we did that. We won. It was exciting. Let's get back to work. It was similar, like, every kind – we did a good job of that last year. You know, people started to follow us, started winning games. And eventually, you know, you get to the point where, you know, everyone's paying attention. All of your games are important. You got to be able to stay even keeled and to be able to go through practice, not let kind of the national media affect how you're thinking about yourselves, not get too up on yourselves, basically. And so those are hard games to come back from, even if you are the winner. We had one game when I was in TCU. I think it was the Oklahoma game. It was the one where we went for we came back. I think we were down one or two. Coach P – oh, no, we were down one. Coach P went for two because he didn't want this game to go overtime, get really long, because then we got to travel. We got a short week. So, you know, he said it. We went for two. You know, we didn't get it. Had a wide open receiver in the back of the end zone, but we had pressure off the edge, and so he couldn't get it off to him. But we lost, and it was one of those games where it's Oklahoma, so it's for us. That's we want to win that game. But you start to look ahead, you start to get ahead of yourself, and then you just got to take care of business and take it week by week.
Yeah, definitely. Same situation. My sophomore year when we went up and played Boise, top five team. And Gary had the exact same mindset. Whenever we scored that touchdown to tie, he said, oh, we're not tying. He's like, this isn't going into overtime. So went for two, but same thing, we ended up winning that one. And then the next week, Colorado State, we came out and we were flat.
Yeah.
Because that's how it was. We stayed up here too long. And so with that, that's what it's going to come down to with Texas and a lot of these teams out here that are already off to a hot start is can they maintain? So it's going to be an interesting week. So
it will be, and we kind of all thought that maybe Colorado would come down off that win against us, but they didn't. So we had a little debate going in my house. We were both, my husband and I were both watching the game, and of course I wanted Colorado to win, and he didn't. He does not like the way Dion, his presence on social media and all of that. I personally don't have a problem with it. Seems to be working. So, but I was glad to see them win. Hopefully they will continue to win. That loss won't be so bad as it feels, still feels today. It's the truth. So now after last week, Texas is number 4 in the AP poll. I think they kind of flip-flopped with Alabama. Alabama dropped down to, I don't even know, their top 10, yeah. And then Colorado went up 2 in their went up 7 to 18. Yeah, they're 2-0. And then Miami, Iowa, and UCLA are now ranked. They weren't ranked before, so that A&M loss got Miami ranked, so that was kind of fun to watch. Other Big 12s ranked are K-State. They're looking amazing. They're 15 last week and 15 still. And OU went up a few spots to 16. There's 5 Big 12 teams receiving votes, and that's Cincinnati, KU, OSU, TCU, and Central Florida. So I will say, if you've had an opportunity to watch Kansas, they look good. And I know we were saying this last year, but I think they've had a little bit more competition early in the season than this year. Their quarterback, I mean, they just look really good, and I'm glad we're not playing them this year. So let's see. Other than A&M, were there any other big losses last weekend? I mean, well, A&M.
I mean, Bama.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loves watching A&M lose.
Exactly.
At least I do.
I enjoy seeing Baylor.
Baylor
yeah,
lost.
That one, and that was a crazy game, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I was watching that one before I left for the game, and I don't feel bad, but I did feel bad because I thought that was pass interference on that last play. But, you know, they didn't call it. It is what it is. They lost. And then Texas Tech was a really close game, too, and they ended up, I think it was 38-33 or something like that. And then the Tech quarterback was about to get sacked and threw a pick, pick six, and so they lost off that. And so
I kept flipping between the Colorado-Nebraska game and the Utah-Baylor game. And they were both very entertaining games. And the Utah-Baylor game, pretty flat. Without Cam Rising, Utah isn't much right now. But that third quarterback they brought in, he looks pretty promising. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm excited for that Utah-Colorado game.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Well, anytime you can get a win without your starting quarterback, I think is a really good day. So, all right. So let's recap the TCU Nicholls State game. I'm going to admit it's a little hard to tell what your team is like when you're playing a team like Nicholls State. It's just not really a fair matchup. I think that Nicholls State did pretty well. I mean, for them, I would have liked to have seen a lot more out of TCU, I think we all wanted our offense to score more than 50 points, and we wanted a shutout, and neither one of those happened. I do think we can all agree that we did look a little bit better on both sides of the ball. Chandler looked a lot more at ease out there on the field than he did the first year. And as quarterbacks for you both, I wanted to bring up the fact that last year when Chandler played against Colorado, that game, it did not start off well. And I was a little nervous. I think we all were in the stands a little nervous that we weren't going to pull that off. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt, pulled out. And then that's when Duggan went in, and the rest is history with that. So there's got to be a little bit of a mental block, I would think, coming back and starting off again with Colorado and getting injured where it's ended your season and you lost your starting position because Duggan was just lights out. So, oh, more beer. Thank you. So what does that do to your mental state? And then how do you get past that? A, it's an injury, and B, it's the same exact team.
It is tough, something to come back from, not only the injury, but also not being able to get back in the under center with those ones as far as last season. However, when you look at it from the coaching perspective, Max had the hot hand, so he had to continue. Mentally, trying to recover from that, it can be it's very tough. A lot of self-doubt, maybe a little insecurity, but he definitely progressed. And honestly, aside from it, just on paper, the interceptions against Colorado, he didn't play poorly against Colorado. They came out and they executed. They came to play ball. They brought it to Fort Worth, and that's what it comes down to. So. I thought he did a good job recovering. Only a couple little things, just as far as being a little quicker, getting the ball out of his hand. I would like to see that. But that's really, he's doing very well. He's managing the huddle. He's getting them in and out. He's getting the ball to the playmakers of who needs to get the ball. And then he's making plays himself. So I thought he did a very good job. At the end of the day, Coach B used to tell us, you only need to win by one. And I know everybody that ever hears that whenever you play a Nickel State or any type of other lower tier team, oh, you should beat them by 60. Well, at the end of the day, we got the dub. And that's all that really matters. So as long as he prepared, I did see an article that Sonny came out and said that this week we had one of the best practices so far of the season coming into Houston. So that's very positive news that we're progressing every week, getting better. And you know what? Hopefully in 5-6 weeks, I hope I see another article like that, that it's the best practice of the year. And we'll find out from there. So.
Yeah, I was pretty satisfied with Chandler. Going back to last year, you know, that's a knee injury. Like, it's those are hard to come back from. I was, you know, very blessed never to have, like, a serious injury. I had a partial tear in one of my hamstrings, but that was really it. I know you had that injury. How many weeks were you out? That
6 weeks,
yeah. So those are hard injuries to come back from, especially a knee where you – Chandler's a runner, like he can run, and so you have to build that confidence back up to be able to trust your leg to make those cuts, whatever it was, because I remember the one he got hurt on, he was kind of doing like a spin move, and when you kind of go into those games, you know what you're capable of, and now there is that kind of self-doubt of like, oh, can I still do that? And someone had tweeted, I don't remember who it was, but saying that the coaches were saying he just had that mental block to get over. And that's one of the hardest things you can do as an athlete. You see professional athletes get their careers are ruined by injuries like that. So that was the biggest thing for me to see, was that he had that long touchdown run in this last game. And so it's good to see him kind of build that confidence back. I know a lot of people were upset because he was in for a lot of that game, and they wanted him to wanted to get ahead by a lot and then have him sit. But honestly, I think it was good for him because it having only played that little bit in that first game last year, he missed out on a lot of time and a lot of progression. I know he got to the point where he was able to practice again. I think he came in one game a little bit at the end of last year, but it's good for him to get those reps, and I was honestly kind of happy he kind of got those reps in this last game, and just built some confidence with his team, got used to his receivers, got used to his O-line, built his legs back up, built that trust back up, and so I was happy he got in those. Obviously, second game of the year, there's a lot of things you can fix. He was Yeah, 26 for 30. That's
and really 28 because two of those
were drops.
Yeah.
One of the drops, I will say, it was third down. He had a running back going up the sideline, and it probably would have been a touchdown. But again, sitting where I'm at, I've got a bird's eye view. Those are hard for – he's not always going to see that. But luckily, you know, we have a coaching staff. We all watch film, can get those things corrected, and hopefully they don't cover the back again. But obviously there's always things you can work on, get better at. But I thought that he did a really good job taking a step from last week to this week. You know, it is hard to come back from a two-interception game, especially in the red zone. I think this game was good for him.
I do too, and I think Houston can be another great game for him because we're going to have to all hands on deck against SMU. They're coming for us, so that's going to be a nerve-wracking game. We nominate a player of the week. Killer Frogs does, and we nominated Chandler. So he got our player of the week. Yay! Good job. So there's a story out there about Chandler and how proud we are of him for hanging in there and pushing through last week. Because when he started the first game, I don't know that much about X's and O's of football, but I mean I've watched enough football through my life to know a little bit. And enough to know especially we have the bird's eye view too, so we can see all the lines that he could be running to make a touchdown, and you're just like, just run the ball, you know, and he didn't. He stayed, he was looking for someone to throw the ball to, and it was nice to see him last weekend take off and run a little bit, even though it's a little scary, I'm sure, too, for the coaches, but he looked good, and he got that huge eruption from the crowd, which has to do a lot for his soul, I'm sure, hearing that down there on the field. All right, so let's see. Real quick, I want to go ahead and thank the Poop Deck for sponsoring our Killer Frogs live podcast weekly on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. We're going to start pushing them probably to early, start a little bit earlier, like 5:30. We're not. Oh, I'm getting no's from the... Okay, we're not going to do that. We're not going to start the podcast at 5:30. I forgot to take a poll before I said that. We're going to continue to start at 6 o'clock. And then we'll just go over to the soccer games and the volleyball games afterwards. We definitely want you to be out there supporting the Frogs more so than sitting in here. You can always listen to us later on. So let's move on to keys to the TCU-Houston game this weekend. It is our first road trip, and it's our first conference game. It's the only conference game in the Big 12, and it's also Houston's first conference game, their first year in the Big 12. And I did hear that last week they kind of got caught looking ahead. I think the coaches even admitted to really looking forward to the TCU game and planning that game, and I think that's kind of how Rice snuck up on them a little bit. So that makes me a little nervous that they're really, really prepared for us. I did then read on one of their forums that they think they're going to get beaten by us by 70 points. So they're talking about how TCU is just going to come in and kill them. So that's great. I hope we do. So with that. I will say Houston is, I want y'all to talk about this a little bit more, but obviously we know that Dana Holgorsen is their coach. We know him from the West Virginia days, love him. He calls the offense. I guess Nathan doesn't love him. Do you not love him?
No.
He rolled his eyes at me. Did y'all see that?
I was thinking back to Coach Meech and Dana used to work together, and so we would always hear stories about Dana.
Oh.
I can't tell them, but...
Oh, okay.
I was more laughing just because I
it was a little
those.
Smirk on your face.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
That's, you have to tell me some of those stories later. Those are the good ones to know. But so Dana does actually call the offense, and they're a fast team. And actually on paper they're faster than Colorado. Their players aren't probably as talented. They did take advantage of the transfer portal. So we'll talk about that. Their quarterback, where did he come from? I'm gonna look at my notes. One transfer from West Virginia, which makes sense, and then Texas Tech's quarterback. So they've got some good transfers. They've been playing well as individuals. They just haven't jived yet as a team. Will we see anything different from them this week? I know their defense is terrible. So what is that?
I mean,
what's going to be different?
It's and it kind of goes back to 2013 year where we had a lot of really talented players. We had Jason Verrett, Brandon Carter, Casey, but it just didn't mesh all together at one time.
Yeah.
And it didn't ultimately come to a successful season, depending on what you view as success. But they're still a dangerous team. Like, a lot of those games we had in 2013 were very close. We lost some of them, most of them by under a touchdown, I think.
Aside from Texas, they beat us, I believe it was 30-7 here at home. Every game other than that.
And that was a weather delay game.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. Yeah. But I believe the worst we lost to any other team was maybe 7 points, 5-7
yeah.
points.
So they're very dangerous. And then going back to the next year, just flip it.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, any Dana Holgorsen team is dangerous.
Yeah.
They're always out to get you, and they're going to come hit you in the mouth. So that's one thing we got to be careful of. We can't just relax just because, they lost the Rice. I'm telling you, they're going to come out fired up and with a fire in their belly and ready to rock and roll. So and especially first Big 12 game at home. So we're going to get probably their best shot starting off. So,
which is scary, but you know we just kind of have to trust our team, trust our coaches. A lot of people have kind of already, you know, like we talked about last week, calling for Briles' head and everything like that, but. If you look at a lot of what we're doing, you know, we're moving the football, we're trying to move the football. A lot of people's biggest issues are our third down plays where they, you know, why are we going behind the line? Well, if you really think about it, for the last few years, that's the same thing we've been doing. You know, this past game, I think we just missed a lot of key blocks, which caused us to not be able to convert those third downs. I thought the call was fine. You know, we're just missing a few things that are very fixable, but we can't get too, like, ahead of the game and want to, like, fix everything. We just trust the coaches. They know what they're doing. You know, they did well last year. Obviously, I know we have a new OC, but they're going to get it. It just takes a little bit of time. You're working with some new players, working on gelling, getting everybody to mesh together. My biggest concern is our defense because Houston does have a very fast offense. Luckily, we also have a fast offense, so in practice, you can kind of simulate that a little better. But that's my biggest thing is if our defense is going to be able to come to the game.
Yeah, I did read that Houston has the 13th fastest pace in the country, and actually TCU, we're the fifth fastest, so which is crazy when you look at the seconds. There's like maybe a second difference, but it's, I guess when you're running, a second is actually a long time. Let's talk about play calling. So I noticed on the forum and just some, you know, back and forth banter, and one of our other podcasts, Brett, is very passionate about the lack of play calling he feels on the offensive side of the ball. Let's not worry about Nickel State. That's hard to tell. But let's go back to Colorado. What do you want to see different on both sides of the ball from play calling, not necessarily the player? Let's just assume that, I mean, a lot of the players did not execute the way they were supposed to at the Colorado game. Let's just say they execute. What are some different play calling that you would like to see?
I think going back to Colorado, I thought we were very balanced. You know, we had, I think it was 46 runs, 50-something passes. So I thought it was balanced. I think we can trust our running backs a little bit more. But like I talked about last week, going back to that last drive, you know, Colorado sold out to stop the run, so we had to pass. I don't have a problem with our play calling right now. Again, in Nickel State, you don't want to show it too much. You want to show your hand. Again, with Colorado, that was such a hyped game that the emotion took over for a lot of it, and so we did have a lot of mistakes first game of the season, you know, maybe some bad reads. But I think that when we start to get into the Big 12 play, our play calling is going to get a little bit more developed. I think right now we've been kind of like setting a base. Let's get good at these plays, be able to, that way, like later down the road when we come back to them, we got them. We don't have to worry about practicing them in practice. We've already got a handle on them. We've kind of done what we can to perfect them, not necessarily perfect, but I think as you get into each week now of the Big 12, you game plan differently. You look at what the defenses are giving you. Colorado was very hard to game plan for because we didn't know what all they were going to bring to the table. So I'm not too stressed out about our play calling right now. I would like to see better defensive adjustments and getting more pressure on the quarterback, but outside of offense, I know you can talk a little more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of going to piggyback off of that. I mean, I don't think the play calling is bad at the moment or anything of that nature. It is coming down to the execution. Making smart plays, getting extra yards when we can, and then when it comes to the defensive side, forcing more turnovers, putting more pressure on them. That is one thing. The lack of pressure and attacking is a little concerned, but that's an easy tweak.
Defense is energy at that point.
Absolutely. So I don't think it's lack of commitment or want to. Just need to dig a little deeper come after them just a little more maybe. But that's just us sitting at a table, you know. At the end of the day, they're going to make their adjustments, and if not, then changes need to be made. So far, I mean, it is only week two. So we can't jump on that train of terrible play calling or this or that. Let's continue to give them a chance every single week, and then if something isn't working out, then we can make that opinion of them. So
yeah, I mean, 42 points in a game is that's a good amount of points.
You should win with 42 points.
Yes. And it comes back down, you know, defense. I'm not dogging our defense too much, but again, it's that energy. It's that want to want to get those stops. And going back from, you know, Michigan, Georgia, Colorado State, we were giving up at least 45 points. We can't do that. But I think they're working on it. We're getting better every day. Taking a little bit of a better step every single practice. 42 points in a game is not something to complain about at all.
I agree.
Look at Baylor, Utah is not a high scoring game. Yeah. If you can score 42 points in that game, you gotta win.
I agree.
Win by one.
And this week, we'll be able to tell so much more after, obviously. Hopefully we're sitting here next week and very happy with the Horned Frogs and how they perform against Houston, and then to get us all to just shut up and enjoy the football game. So, all right, well, notable matchups. Let's see. We have a very lackluster slate last week, and we actually have an even less exciting slate this week. We have zero ranked teams playing each other. So it looks like Minnesota, I'm going to read off a few of the top games that they're predicting will be number 11, Tennessee at Florida. And then there's Minnesota at number 20, North Carolina. And then number 1, Georgia plays South Carolina. Number 8, Washington at Michigan State. Pitt at West Virginia will be really good. That's a rivalry. That's the backyard brawl, and it's finally back in Morgantown. It has not been there in, I think at least a decade, so that'll be exciting. Number 15, K-State against Missouri. I think I read that the line on this game is only 4 points, which is interesting because K-State is good, and they killed Missouri last year. So
that's a rivalry game too, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm looking forward to that game. I think it'll be
a lot of people
one.
Are picking Missouri. Yeah. So what do y'all think? I mean, we're not into picks yet, but go ahead.
I mean, I obviously want K-State to win. I think they have a very good offense. I think that obviously I know we don't have any ranked games, but it doesn't mean we're not going to get a good game.
Yeah.
Look at Utah Baylor. It was a close game.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, Oregon, good game. There's a lot of good games outside of ranked matchups. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always have to be a ranked matchup. I mean, Appalachian State, they put up a good fight against anybody they play in FBS. And so
BYU and Arkansas will be a good game. Neither one of them are ranked. So
yeah.
LSU plays Mississippi State. That'll always be good.
We've got some good games to look forward to and Big 12 teams to root for. Definitely want West Virginia to pull out that win against Pitt. I think there's still good games to look forward to.
Yeah, I do too. All right, during week three, is there anybody who's on after we just said there aren't really a whole lot of tough matchups? Anybody who's ranked on upset alert?
I mean, K-State, Missouri.
Yeah.
That's I'm not going to rule out South Carolina against Georgia. I mean, if they, you know, bring energy, I know it's at Georgia, but again, any of these teams can get beat any week. We talked about it week one. You can't look ahead. You got to look at who you're playing. You got to get ready for that game. And so if you get caught looking ahead, it could end up being close. And then they hang around for a little bit too long. And then now it's anybody's game at that point.
Yeah, and a lot of these teams are already dealing with some injuries. In fact, I heard that we've got several players that are walking around in boots right now too. So we'll see how serious. A lot of times they just do that to help them out during the week, and then they still play. But hopefully our players will stay healthy, because that we all know that is it. I mean, it's kind of the last man standing at the end of these very long and even getting longer seasons. So stay healthy, eat healthy, get your sleep. All right, so week three predictions. TCU versus Houston. So I will say, in the history of us playing each other, TCU's won the last 8 in a row, and 9 of the 15 matchups have resulted in one-score finishes. So that whole win by one, we love, and it has given me many, many gray hairs. And then another couple were just 10-point finishes. So very, very close and exciting games. Unless you're one of the teams playing, then they're heart stopping. As a sportsbook right now, last I checked, had TCU favored by 7 points on the road in their first conference game. What do y'all think? What's your score prediction?
I definitely think we're going to come out hot. We got something to prove now, especially heading into Big 12 play. I think we're going to put it on them, and 38-17. That's my prediction. So,
all right, so we're on the same page with the offense. I had 38, but till I see the defense come up in a big game, I'm a little cautious. I still think we're going to win, obviously. I just predicted 38-28. I think we'll give up a few more touchdowns than that. But, you know, go Frogs.
All right, I had to look up my score prediction. I gave it the other day. I'm saying TCU 42, Houston 31. So definitely have us winning. Yeah, I like y'all's score predictions a little bit better than mine. Well, actually, I like my offensive score and then y'all's Houston score. So hopefully. What do y'all think out there? What do you think in the audience that the 43-20. I like that. I do. What about y'all? We're going to remember that. We'll give an award next week. All right. How many of y'all are traveling to the game? Show of hands. Everybody. That's awesome. I think TCU's going to have a good crowd down there. Tons of people already live in – I mean, TCU recruits heavily for their students. Tons live in Houston. We're staying with an old baseball friend from my days at TCU. So
yeah, one of my friends that played on the TCU golf team, she's from Houston. And so she's down there. Her bridal party is actually Sunday, so I actually have to go to both.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot to do. You'll be exhausted. So
no,
Nathan's
no,
a bridesmaid.
No, no, no. I could be if I wanted to, but no.
That's awesome. All right. Well, with that, we have come to the end of our Killer Frogs live podcast from the poop deck. This is where first of all, I want to thank you, Casey, and I want you to come back more than once. It's been way too long since we've talked with you. I adore you, and you're a part of our family for sure. So thank you so much. And with that, we'll go ahead and get our frogs up. And this is where we all say, go frogs. All right.